It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Are teens suffering more anxiety today? And if that's true, are smartphones to blame? My guest says no, and we're going to find out why. Do you think increased time spent with tech has changed the way young people today think and interact with the world? Or do you think they're the same as older generations, just more tech savvy? 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Three ways to get in touch. My guest is Richard Friedman, a professor of clinical psychiatry at Weill Cornell Medical College and a contributing opinion writer to the New York Times. He recently wrote an article titled "The Big Myth About Teenage Anxiety." Professor Friedman, good morning and welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So we hear that smartphones and the internet are changing the way our brains work, particularly the elastic growing minds of young people, but that may not be really the whole picture. Why?
Well, I mean, it is true that we are neuroplastic, meaning that our brains are open to influence from outside, environmental stimuli, and especially when we're young, when we're in the so-called, sensitive period, when we're uniquely susceptible to changes. But at the same time, our brains are fairly sturdy, and we have built-in mechanisms to prevent too much influence from the outside. You're not going to wipe out your brain as if it were a hard drive and reformat it by exposure to these technologies. And I think that, people have the idea that kids who are exposed to a lot of smartphones and digital technology are fundamentally changing their brain in a way that, previous generations who were exposed to other influences were not. And I think there is very little evidence scientifically that that's the case.
One of the concerns we hear a lot about when it comes to teens and tech is that constant access to social media and the internet is making them more prone to anxiety. Is that true?
There have been a lot of reports first, to just unpack what you said, that teens are more anxious now than they used to be. And everybody hears stories about the epidemic of teenage anxiety. But when I looked into this, there's actually very little evidence that the rates of anxiety disorders are rising in teenagers, either in the United States or around the world. So where this idea for the epidemic is coming from is not clear to me. So that's the first thing. And the second is, the relationship between anxiety in teenagers and their exposure to technology, I think, is murky at best. A lot of that comes from these studies where they look at a group of adolescents and ask them, how much time do you spend on your smartphone? And then they look at the rates of complaints of anxiety in teenagers, and then they link those two, and they're correlated. But as you know, and your listeners know, things that are correlated are not necessarily causally related. So, it could be that, anxious teenagers who are anxious to start with spend more time on their smart devices is a way to allay their anxiety, and that, their time on the smartphone is not the cause, it's the result of their anxiety.
Well, and isn't part of this the discussion and some of the confusion about how we use language? So the term anxiety has a specific meaning for mental health professionals, but as a more general term, it really doesn't mean the same thing. And so could it be that we're talking about two different things? I mean, teenagers, as near as I know, have always had some sort of anxiety, but not necessarily at the pathological level.
That's a wonderful point that you make, and I think the critical one. And I mean, the notion that people have a problematic anxiety, you have to understand that, pathological anxiety or having an anxiety disorder means either having anxiety when there's really nothing to be worried about, so it's not appropriate to the situation, or it's excessive. It's just wildly out of proportion to the situation. That's an anxiety disorder, and it interferes with function. Kids can't go to school. They can't maintain their relationships. It gets in the way. That's pathological anxiety. Whereas, you know, normal anxiety is you're worried because something actually is upsetting. You're not doing well in school. Your friends don't like you. You had a bad date. You're afraid because there's been a terrorist attack. I mean, that's normal. And, you know, if you're not anxious in those settings, there's something else that's wrong. So, you know, kids and teens and adults should be anxious in certain settings. I guess the question is, you know, are teens now as a group more anxious, you know, within the normal range of anxiety than teens 10 or 20 years ago? That's a different question. It's not what I was talking about.
So what do we know? I mean, some studies have shown a negative correlation between time spent on screens and psychological well-being. But what you're saying is that those correlations really aren't, I don't want to say aren't valid, but it'd be like saying, okay, so all of these people also drank milk as babies and now they're more anxious. So those two things must be related.
Right. So, I mean, correlation is not nothing. I don't want to dismiss out of hand the possibility that, you know, someday somebody will do a careful study longitudinally and follow a group of kids, the same group of kids, and look at their baseline, you know, state of wellness and anxiety, and then be able to show over time that, you know, even kids who started out with low anxiety ended up with more of it, and it was directly related to exposure to digital technology. But the studies that we have right now are what we call cross-sectional studies. So you get a group of people, you look at them right now, and you look at how many hours on the phone they spend and how anxious they report they are. And then you link those two things. And that kind of a study can't control for what they were like before. And it can't rule out the possibility that the direction of cause goes the other way, that people who are more anxious to start with are more likely to use digital technology, or if they're more depressed, they're more likely to, you know, spend time on their cell phones. There's no way to figure that out from these studies.
What have you seen in your own patients? I mean, have you noticed any changes in young people as tech has become more and more pervasive in our everyday lives?
I have noticed that young people seem more worried in ways that, you know, I have not seen before. And not just that, I've seen, and this may be related to certain social classes, but that their parents are also more worried about them and worried about their future and worried that they're going to do well and concerned about, you know, how they're doing in ways that previous generations weren't. I mean, for example, you know, I'm 62 years old. I grew up in the, you know, 60s and 70s. My parents didn't know where I was and where my sister was after school. We were wandering around the neighborhood. We were hanging out with friends. You just never see that today. The world today, to many people, seems like a more unfriendly, scarier place. And kids are much more carefully observed and controlled. There is a sense of the world that is different now than it was then. And that may reflect the fact that, you know, there's a loss of neighborhood or family structure. However you want to speculate about why that is, I think people are generally more concerned. Even though we hear all the time the world is safer, you know, homicide rates are down, crime has gone down, and yet you have this phenomenon of, you know, at least in certain social groups of helicopter parents who are, you know, hovering in the background, worried about their kids.
Right. And technology gives them greater access to where their children are. We're talking with Richard Friedman, professor of clinical psychiatry at Weill Cornell Medical College and a contributing opinion writer to The New York Times. His article titled "The Big Myth About Teenage Anxiety" is the genesis for this discussion. Could it be that, you know, it's really not about the tech, it's about how we interact with it, about how we think about it, and the way we think it affects us?
Yes, I think that, you know, it's possible that people are noticing that, you know, as a group, teenagers are more worried and more concerned. I mean, after all, in some ways, you know, things are harder for teenagers now than they were before. You know, there are more kids applying to college. It's more competitive. I and my colleagues joke all the time that, you know, if we were to apply to college today to the same ones we went to, we probably wouldn't get in. It's harder. It's more competitive. You know, at least 50% of kids are not going to do as well, you know, economically as their parents. I mean, so that the way that this generation views the future might be really different. And so I think that because of that, people look to find reasons why that might be the case. And the rise of digital technology is one handy explanation. Whether it's related or not is not clear.
Well, you and I are old enough to remember when everyone said that TV was going to destroy our brains. And Socrates thought along the same lines about writing, but I don't have firsthand knowledge of that, just for the record.
Right.
What advice would you have for parents in dealing with teenage anxiety and our mediated culture?
So I would say that if you notice that your kids are more worried in general, you do what all parents do, which is you talk to them and you find out what they're worried about. If your sense is that there's been a change in the way they normally are, meaning they've gone from a happy-go-lucky person, well-adjusted, to being worried and anxious all the time, then I think you need to seek mental health consultation because something is different.
We'll need to leave it there. Professor, thank you so much for spending this time with us this morning.
A pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Richard A. Friedman is professor of clinical psychiatry at Weill Cornell Medical College and a contributing opinion writer to the New York Times. He recently wrote a piece titled The Big Myth About Teenage Anxiety. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.